Pickaxe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Welcome, P-Flex.
I want this welcome, podcast Sips. To carry me home.
We haven't got a jingle. Like it, we just have that little thing at the start that goes, yeah.
It's not all right. It works.
But
it
I would us. Like a nice
something to salute to.
Something like that.
What about something like chipper, but like a marching song as well? Like Triforce.
It's the Triforce.
You guys are really cool. Triforce.
It's the Triforce. It's three old guys talking out their ass.
Yeah.
Next week.
Stories about dropping kids off at school
and drinking weed.
Yeah, it's so I went to Sips's. I went to Jersey weekend.
Yeah. Lewis was over here over the weekend. Flex came
cool.
for a visit.
4 days of freezing cold island.
Yeah,
is it cold over there? Is it?
It's cold.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a bit blowy.
Cold. It's rainy. Yeah, it's pretty gray and miserable, and it's like this for about 8 months a year. So there you go.
Yeah, it's the same here.
Yeah,
same here.
Yeah.
Fucking freezing.
Island life, huh? You guys just live on a bigger island than me.
We get pretty sheltered in London. Like we've got all the residual heat from everybody, you know, all the people in the buildings and all the central heating and everything. It never gets that cold, but then sometimes there's like a big snap. But then I go and it feels cold. But when you go to another part of the country that's a bit more rural or much more coastal, the cold ramps up.
Yeah.
It ramps right up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm acclimatized to this mild, miserable weather now. Whereas like, you know, growing up in a place where it was really, really fucking cold for a lot of the year. Like when I first came over here, everybody's like, oh, it's cold. I was like, what are you talking about? I was wearing my shorts and like a t-shirt and stuff. But then after a couple of years, like, because I've been over here for like 17 years now.
Right, right.
Now I'm a big pussy. I can't handle even 10 degrees, I find insufferably cold. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're like me in that we just try and remain indoors as often as possible.
Yeah.
Preferably in front of a computer. So. Yeah.
Urban heat island. That's something we learned in geography, right? It was like certain cities are much hotter than rural areas because
New York City's got to be like that. Every time I see it in the winter, there's always steam coming up out of the sewers and there's like vents
freezing.
Out the side of buildings. I know, it's the same.
New York City winters are the worst because you've got those long avenues and it just, the wind, when it picks up, it's so, so bad. I remember winters in New York as being fucking miserable. And summers as well as being unbelievably stiflingly hot. So, yeah, it's like the worst winters, the worst summers, but it's you still got to love New York.
Yeah.
It's significantly warmer, actually, because of the heat center than surrounding areas, though. But also, it's the vegetation's a big thing. Like, in Central Park, you could see a big square on the map, on the heat map, where it's like a couple of degrees cooler because the urban heating is not.
They have a skating rink in there too, so
I love New York, but I don't understand the love for Central Park other than there's nothing else. Like it's not a great park, in all honesty, and I say that as a former New Yorker and a lover of the city. Central Park is massively overrated.
Right.
If you go to, there's a ton of parks just in my area that are fucking way better than Central Park, but it's all you've got when you're on the island. That's like, there's no option.
Yeah.
This is as green as it gets, so I get it. But they could make it a little nicer. Oh,
well, it's not really a park so much as a series of roads with grass around.
Yeah.
I mean, well, then again, it's they've made an effort, at least, and I feel like
Hyde Park in London's really nice. I've been there. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah, so 3 degrees warmer, but as high as 12 degrees centigrade warmer in the evenings with big cities.
I mean, when you're out in the countryside at night, you do feel the heat drop off. Like it just vanishes, especially if there's no cloud cover. That's it. That's why I never go camping. Why the fuck would you do that to yourself? You ever go camping?
Your balls
and
off.
I've been camping so many times. And you know what? If it's one of those things, it's like a cultural thing. You're exposed to it at a young age through like either your family going camping or maybe you go with your friend's family to go camping or you're in Cubs or Scouts or whatever, they do a lot of camping as well. They're all about the wilderness and stuff. It's something, it's like an acquired sort of taste, but it's amazing. Camping is, I really rate it. It's one of the best things you can do, honestly. It, like, you completely detach yourself from like your devices and stuff. Like you don't have any electricity. You just go to sleep when the sun sets. You wake up when the sun rises. It's the most natural and sort of relaxing thing. You would really benefit from it, Flax, with your anxiety shit like that.
No,
you would fucking love it. Honestly, I'm telling you.
No, I wouldn't.
A couple of days, you'd be miserable, but like, go for a week or something and really, really like immerse yourself in it. It's awesome. Oh, man. Nothing's better. Just take your vape with you and like a cooler with some chargers in it and stuff.
Where am I going to charge
just
my
vape? Just get a battery. Just get like a battery pack. Charge it from your car or something. Who cares? Like, it just... Or just take a pack of smokes.
No.
Take some magic mushrooms. You know, fucking whatever, man. It's, you're camping. Who cares? You're out there. You know, you're shitting in a hole in the ground. It's awesome.
Just grab a couple mushrooms off the ground, shove them in a pipe, and smoke them. You fucker. Light it on the campfire.
me and Lewis watched a bunch of SAS. He Who Dares Wins while he was over.
My wife
likes watching it. And we were watching it with her and stuff.
There was this bit. And, there was this great bit, right, where this fucking Essex hard man, who's part of the SAS, with this lovely, lovely, perfectly trimmed coiffured beard and looks gorgeous. You know, and he's like, "When I was on operations, my family sent me a letter, so I fucking burned it."
Yeah.
So I didn't want it to affect psychologically, my performance.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "When my family used to send me letters when I was on operation, I burned them." That was it. That was the whole...
So dramatic.
That was the whole cut. It was so fucking funny.
Oh, man, it's a great show. Sorry.
But listen, the whole time we're watching this, Lewis was like, "That's easy. I could do that. I was in cadets. I went to an SAS camp one time."
Yeah, I was in cadets.
Oh, I could do that. Oh, they're fucking pussies. I could fucking do that. I could do that. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? I'd pay good money to see Lewis take on the SAS challenge. Like, I would love to watch the whole 15 minutes he survived for.
I would also love to see that.
Before he got forcefully ejected from
these
it.
These guys,
you know,
he'd say so. He'd mouth off to the SAS guy like they were his personal trainer. Whoa. He'd say some shit. You would.
No, fuck your mother, staff, and suck my dick. That's it. 20 push-ups. I'm gonna do push-ups on your mom. You're gonna push up your mom's rear end, staff, and then that'd be it. You'd be out. You can't be inappropriate like you were with your personal trainer with SAS staff. They won't take it.
I think it's the opposite of you, Lewis, being in the SAS.
Yeah.
Like, having to be told what to do, you don't like that.
Yeah.
You're a person that rejects authority and being told
like
what to do.
It's like role play. I understand it. I'll just get into it.
See, I think a show where you would excel, Lewis, is Antiques Roadshow. I think you would absolutely fucking own everybody on that
one. Why do you think he'd be good on Antiques Roadshow?
Or like flog it. You mean like go into a bargain market and like...
Nah, Antiques Roadshow. Like something really fucking...
What am I going to bring? I don't own anything.
You're just yourself.
No, you're one of the experts. Oh. You just have to go out there and pretend you know.
Just you being there is enough to be the champion. You and Fiona Bruce just like hanging out, you know, laughing at poor people and just fucking, you know, talking about antiques and shit. You'd have it like.
I reckon
nailed.
I'm like a shapeshifter. I can blend into any environment. I reckon I would be great in the old SAS.
Are you sure?
Because I'd be great.
Your massive head from this fucking statement that you're a shapeshifter might stick out a wee bit.
I have shapeshifted into a big head. I don't know if you noticed.
I don't know. Like people do that though. They quickly conform to their surroundings, you know. And I think that these SAS guys, have trained so many fucking people that any lip gets like, you know, slapped out of you pretty quick.
I don't think people do. I think charlatans do. But generally, people are either, you know, good at something or into something or not.
Charlatans.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that word.
I went to, when I was at Jersey, I went to your son's, well, it wasn't his 8th birthday party, but it was another 8th birthday.
Yeah, it was another. It was a
happy birthday.
It wasn't his birthday.
It's a
happy birthday to the kid whose birthday we went to.
Yeah, happy birthday to that kid.
It's a funny, like, age because, as Sips was sort of explained to me, for the last sort of couple of years, every weekend, it's some kid's birthday party.
Yeah, like,
sometimes multiple.
It's constant.
And so it's like this rolling part of your life that I kind of didn't even consider. I guess like it's a common thing when you have a kid that they're constantly changing and you're constantly having to learn new things because you're never prepared for what's going to happen, kind of thing. But it's something that isn't like you know, on the list of things that you expect to have to, right. to do, which is go to these parties. And you've talked about them a lot. And it was like...
Lewis got to witness it firsthand. You seem tired after the end of the day,
well, the,
Lewis.
The best way to describe it, I thought, was like going to the gym, okay? It was like something which I felt like I sort of had to do, right? But I didn't actually mind it. I thought it was quite... I thought it was okay once I was there. But I was a bit bored because, you know, I think everyone else was having fun. Apart from like one or two active dads.
Yeah.
One or two dads get involved.
Yeah. There was that fucking show off who was like doing flips on the trampolines and stuff. And you just think,
yeah, there's
get
like
over
one,
yourself. Like,
one, there's always been that dad, hasn't there?
You wouldn't be allowed to do that in the SAS. It was that, you know, they'd curse at you and they'd kick you out. Show offs.
Like that one dad who was in like the scoutmaster as well. You know, he was the guy who was like just. Like an incredibly awesome dad.
Yeah, who, for some context
you,
on
like
this.
You kind of wish he was your dad when you're like going on scout camp and stuff. And you know, he's like,
yeah.
But his kid's a bit of a wet blanket, right? And he kind of prefers some of the other kids and wishes he was their dad.
Yeah.
It's this weird dynamic.
We're talking about jumping and flipping because the party was at an indoor trampoline park. For context.
Oh, yes. Man. Yeah.
Yes.
Those are fun.
Yeah. So.
And so me and Sips are there in the sort of parents area watching the kids all have fun. And then this one dad who looks like, it looks like an animated GIF waiting to happen.
GIF, yes.
Where he accidentally catches.
Well done.
He's doing like a triple backflip and he accidentally catches like a toddler with his toe. And that toddler also does a triple backflip. You know what I mean? As he in the air, you know, you could imagine. And then he quickly does dad reflexes and catches the toddler before any injury has occurred. That kind of thing. So it was that for a few hours. They all had pizza and chips, which I think is the standard kid food.
Pretty
and
much.
Maybe some ice cream.
Yeah. They eat like, they have like two chips and a bite of pizza.
They were like royalty.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's like two tables of kids. I'd say like maybe 30 kids like total.
Yeah.
And the parents of that kid, the kid whose birthday is, are on duty. Okay. So they've got these big trays of food. And they're sort of serving the kids as if the kids are at a royal banquet. And they've all
You've
these kids have got...
You've never been to a party in your life.
I just want to describe this to you so you understand what it was like from my vision, okay? So these poor parents there are like slaves, okay? They're walking around like, yes, master, do you want another slice of pizza on top of your half-eaten pizza? And these kids have like eaten a quarter of a slice of pizza and left it, and they've eaten half a burger, and they've got like a whole plate full of chips and like loads of chocolates everywhere. And they're like, yeah, why not? They just like nod and have another slice of pizza added to this pile of food, right? So they're all, the parents are like, oh, can I get you anything else, master? Like going around. Oh, it was heaven. And then they all got a goodie bag. They had a cake. Everyone got a massive fucking slice of cake.
Yeah.
It was like, everyone got a goodie bag and they all, it was all very like traditional, weirdly. Like almost like it had been this rote thing. And it was like, they do this every time. They have, you know, they do the exercise or the event or the fun thing. And they have the food and then the parents help out. And then, you know, they do the cake and everyone gets a goodie bag. And it feels like if you're a parent and your kid comes to one of these, you know that there's going to be a time when you have to be the ones being those, you know, like waiters and serving and organize this thing and make sure the kids are having a good time. And you can imagine it being incredibly stressful. It's very strange, but you have to do it to fit in. You don't want to be those weird parents who do something weird, you know?
Yeah.
You've got to keep it all very normal.
I know a few, obviously, you know, got two kids, like Sips, lots of birthday parties. It does start to peter out as they get older. They get more of a group of friends.
What's wrong with Peter?
Hey, very good. They start to diminish in frequency because the kids start to get like a select group of friends. So rather than just which early on reception, year one, year two, kind of year three, the entire class is invited to every party. So every party, you're looking at like 25, 30 kids. So you've got to plan exactly the trampoline thing, or we're going to hire a massive hall with a magician or something like that. Like that's it. But then it starts to get easier and it's like five kids. And it does slack off. You just take them bowling or some shit. But it is stressful. It is stressful, especially the parents that turn up, drop their kid off, and then fuck off. And you don't see them again for like, until half an hour after the party's finished and they roll up. All right, you know, to pick up their kid. You're like, why the fuck couldn't you just come and get them when everyone else does. The parents that hang out and help out, they're the saints. They're the real saints.
Yeah, those we didn't do that, Sips, did we?
No.
We just were like,
No, we were keeping.
We just
distance.
Had coffee and complained the whole time.
Well, the jungle gym or whatever it's called isn't like a flipping heated. It's like a warehouse with trampolines in it, and so it's kind of like just
those places exist for this. For parties.
They do.
Like, that's literally, really think how much money they make. Because like Sip said, it's like 30 quid a head. I mean, they just squeeze the kids in, give them some cheap old pizza and bingo, bango, bosh, you're done.
Bingo.
I mean, the kids eat so little pizza, you could probably just reheat it afterwards and give it to the party in room two. Easy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But no, I really enjoyed it. And then I don't know, Sips, your kids are so lucky. You know, I think, you know, you're such a nice place to live, Jersey. And it feels like super, super chill as a place. We went around and went to a toy shop, went to a bookshop.
Yeah.
Made some balloon animals.
Yeah.
Like, did some puzzles.
I know.
Like, it was really fucking cool.
It was all
cool.
Just
really
very, it was a very wholesome weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Of watching kids do stuff and waiting for them to go to bed.
And your son's got a really good sense of humor now as well. And he's actually starting to, like, he properly made me laugh a few times as well with, like, little.
He is funny,
Little jokes.
He's funny. He takes after his mum. Funny looking. He's funny looking as well.
I met Terry, of course.
Yeah, Terry.
We saw him get cleaned with a toothbrush on TV, and so then we got him out and cleaned him with a toothbrush.
That was good fun. We did him. He was sloshing around in his bowl, and he was having he was having a whale of a time, actually. Man, he was full of piss and vinegar after that. It was like, revived him.
Yeah, it's like a. I mean, I was saying, like, you know, it's the middle of winter, isn't he hibernating yet? Because I'm sure on Blue Peter, they always put the turtles in the fridge for.
Yeah,
you know,
he's got to be bigger.
Know?
He's too small.
Fridge.
Yeah, they need to have a really consistent low temperature to hibernate.
Really?
So if it fluctuates too much.
They put them in a box with some like shredded newspaper and just.
And they just hibernate
it
for
says,
like 16 weeks.
Open in March or whatever. Leave it in the fridge.
What happens if they don't hibernate?
Nothing. It's just they naturally want to. They're programmed to. But they need to be a certain weight before they can survive it.
Yeah.
Because he's very small. He's only three. So in a couple of years when he's bigger, he'll be able to. But even now, even though he can't hibernate, last year for a certain period of time, he was like, semi-hibernating. Like, he was just not eating as much, wasn't as active, was constantly seeking like the cooler part of his cage to just like sleep. He just slept most of the day and stuff. And then at this certain cutoff point, the next day he was just like, boom, he was like back active, like awake, like running around more, eating a lot more and stuff. It's weird. I'm always amazed by like small animals and how they know how to do stuff. Like,
it is nuts.
I know. I like even like guinea pigs, like they know how to do everything they need to do within like an hour of being born. It's insane. Like I don't understand. Like it's a miracle.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But then again, what they are doing is little bit simpler than complex jokes about.
All right, think about this
Pokemon.
Though. I'm sure I've said this before, right? Think how big their brain is.
Yeah.
Right. But think of a spider. Even a small spider knows how to do everything a spider does. Even the really complicated thing of making a web, which most people couldn't do.
Yeah.
They know how to do that. And all right, yes, 100%, it's just instinct. But we kind of dismiss that as not being itself incredible. That's some amazing programming right there.
It really is.
You
yeah.
can
right.
fit that into something that big.
Yeah.
And it's adaptive enough to build it. It's not the same every time.
They're like little Raspberry Pis, right?
The web is adapted to where it's meant to be. Yeah, it's incredible.
They're just little tiny brains that are just very simple. Like, I mean, think like even Terry. He only knows how to do like five things. And those are the five things that he has to do to live for like 150 years. It's
right,
crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He knows when to eat. He knows how to stay safe. He knows how to not get eaten by other animals, hopefully. He knows that he needs to exercise, and that's it. Like that, there's nothing else. He doesn't need company. I don't think he would give a shit if there was another tortoise in there or not. Like they're not like pack animals or anything. They don't have like a social network that, you know, we don't understand or whatever.
They're solitary creatures.
They mate at a certain time of year. Like they hibernate at a certain time of year. Done. That's it. Just like small little brain with these little things. You're ready to go. It's amazing. It's really fascinating. The whole thing.
Do you know if it's actually a boy? Because it's
hard
to tell.
No, you can't.
Right?
They have to be a certain size before you can tell what sex they are as well. So
Terry's a unisex name, like we've said.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
he can swing either way. He doesn't mind. We say he because we've just sort of assume wrongly, I know it's 2020 that it's a guy, but for now it's fine. I don't think Terry minds much either. So if Terry turns out to be a girl, cool. You know, like, no, it'll be she instead. Or, you know, maybe Terry might not identify as either.
Let's say you get a camper van.
Yeah.
Okay, Sips. You've decided that you've had this midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Or you saw a friend of yours at school, you were chatting to a dad and he was like, I've got this old camper van I'm not using anymore. I was thinking of selling it. Yeah.
Am I a boomer in this situation?
You're a boomer.
Okay.
You're a boomer.
All right.
And you've bought a camper van.
Yeah.
Okay. And you
put my microwave
Terry,
in there.
And your son
get a microwave in the back.
Are going camping.
Right.
Because you're like, I it was like a thing I did. I wanted to expose my son to camping and give him like get him like wilderness ready.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he'll love it with, you know, and maybe he's been saying, oh, can we go camping? You know, Billy's dad takes him camping and he's like, you know, he really wants to go. Imagine he's not into Fortnite and Minecraft and all that shit. He's into camping. Okay. You go camping. I want you to tell me like how you do it. Okay. What's the thought process that goes behind this? How do you make it a good time?
How do you make it
how
a good time?
How do you make him into an outdoorsman?
Right. Yeah. What you do is,
teach me.
You have your pet tortoise and you have your 8-year-old son. In order to have a fun time camping, you simply need to buy a cool tent. I mean, one that's easy to deploy as well. You don't want to be spending too much time setting up a tent. You want to get there. You want to get the tent set up. You want to get your sleeping bags set up as well, ready to go, so that, you know, you have a comfortable place to lay down and stare at the ceiling of your tent, because that's pretty much all you're going to do the whole weekend. And once that's set up, you want to bring along with you some of those plastic army men, you know, with the little bases below their feet, so that they can like...
You can buy a big tub of those.
You buy a big tub of those, okay? And then what you do is you find a nice spot to camp, really remote as well. Portage recommended, honestly. You put everything you need for like a weekend or a week into a canoe. So that's like a cooler with like bring like drink powder. You could just get like a filter and drink like water right from the lake, or bring your own fresh water. It's fine as well. And then bring like, you know, like you know, like powdery stuff to like mix so you can make juice or whatever, in case you don't want to just like drink water all the time.
Oh my God, some ration packs.
Yeah, yeah. And then bring some like pre-washed, like sort of like prepared like veg and stuff like that. Wrap it up, leave it in the cooler, because you're just going to be cooking on a fire. You know, you put everything into tin foil and just like hold it over the fire, let it warm up, and that's what you're going to be eating. And if you want to eat like fish, if you know how to clean fish, you can do some fishing, because you'll have your canoe and presumably some fishing rods and stuff too. And then as long as the weather is nice, all you do the whole time is you sit around and you read books. You can bring a hammock that you can set up. You can lay in that bitch and read some books. Your son can read some books as well. Or you can like you can learn how to make fires. You can set up your army men in a really cool like display, using some twigs and some acorns and shit like that, and then throw rocks at them to knock them over. That's fun too. You can go on a canoeing adventure. You could go on hikes. You could do some fishing.
I feel
fishing.
Like these things...
I mean, there's so much
shit. You're not describing this stuff. Okay, so
it's
like,
all very
first
specific.
Of all,
this is all stuff that I did and I had fun.
Do you know how to fish?
You bring a mountain bike and you could
do
just go biking.
Do you actually know how to fish?
Sure.
You could teach me and an 8-year-old how to fish at an actual river.
Yeah, absolutely.
Properly,
yeah.
And catch a fish.
It's not hard.
I don't know how to do it.
We've been doing it since the dawn of time. It's like a tried, tested, and true way of getting food.
Are you saying that we understand fishing like a turtle understands the five things turtles
I think
understand?
So. I mean, it's definitely been passed down. Like your generations and generations of your previous people. That
I don't know if we have an inbuilt ability to fish.
Generations and generations.
I think as a race, we now understand how to fish.
My dad was an accountant for his whole life.
You've seen people fish before.
Right, but that's the point, is if Lewis had never seen someone fish, would he be able to bait a line, detangle it if it gets tangled, and know the good spots?
Man,
no.
Man, it's not hard.
It's fun. Fishing is great fun.
It is not hard.
It's not that difficult.
No.
There is skill to it, for sure.
Sure, but we're not talking about...
You can easily just go out and dunk a line.
We're not doing
a
pro tour here. We're talking
yeah,
about
exactly.
just having a bit of fun and doing some mushrooms and going fishing. I mean...
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, sure. Maybe that will make the weekend go faster.
Or no, it not. Won't. It's like a fucking time vacuum.
So
I was watching Dave Chappelle, one of Dave Chappelle's stand-up things where he's talking about drugs. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's the one where he's like, imagine how much pressure you'd be under if your landlord was also a crack addict. And you just like turn up at like yeah. 3 a.m. He's like, you got that rent? He's like, he needs to get some more crack. And then he tells a story about how he did mushrooms this one time. Cause he's like, the thing was about drugs. And he was saying, don't do anything above weed. He's like, weed is fine, but like anything above weed, don't do it. And he's like, I tried mushrooms at a party one time. And he was saying that, you know, he planned out his day as if it was weed. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to like have a shower, go get my hair cut and then go see a movie or whatever. So he ate the mushrooms, had a shower, went to get his hair cut and just started tripping out. Like while he was getting his hair cut, like the barber looked like a penis and all this stuff. It was pretty funny. And then he was like, thought it would be like weed where he'd be like, okay, I won't be high for that long. Let me do a couple of things and like become unhigh. So he's like, so I thought I'm going to listen to some music. So he listened to every CD he had and still he was still high after it. He's like, all right, I'll go take a little nap. See if I can like shrug it off. Slept, woke up, still high. He's like, ah, fuck, maybe I just do some exercise. So I ran around the block 4 times and he's like, still high. Like before he did all this, he looked at his watch. It was like 2:30. He gets back from his run. He's like, it's 2:35. Like it's just like did all this stuff and it's like 5 minutes have passed. So yeah, no.
It's don't do mushrooms. Well,
and go fishing
unless it's like approved.
I mean, you can, but just be prepared.
If they were like sold in Marks and Spencer's, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Well, obviously that's different kind. Ones you could eat regular mushrooms.
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah, they're not magical those ones.
But no, if you could like if weed was available in like nice in you know in the same way that there's like weed shops.
Uh-huh.
You know, if mushrooms were available in the same way.
Yeah.
You know, people had given them a good go and really knew like. What to do?
I'd be different kinds.
Yeah,
you'd have different brands. Coca-Cola brand mushrooms. You know, you go to McDonald's and you'd get a Happy Meal. Could I get the Happy Meal with magic mushrooms?
Yeah, I mean,
like if they could commercialize drugs, they'd be in fucking everything. Like you'd get your meal deal would be a sandwich, crisps, bottle of Coke, and some LSD.
Yeah,
you know that would be the meal.
Give me those. Yeah,
people would be high all the fucking time.
Yeah, Happy Meal. You'd have like a.
It's like Brave New World where they gave everybody Soma, right, to make them chill. It would be like that.
Man,
no.
Yeah, I don't know that
Too
one.
Too literary.
Yeah. Okay. In Brave New World, yeah, we know that. I was thinking. I'm sure I read a story about how mushrooms are like constantly changing, and there's so many of them that even in like supermarket mushrooms, they discovered like recently a couple of new species. You know, just.
They were some old-ass mushrooms off the back of the shelf there.
I can't remember. I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Do you know what I do when I buy bananas from the supermarket? And I've taught my kids this. It's the stupidest thing I've taught them. I always check the bananas for spiders.
Right.
Because I read an article about this guy who reached into his fruit bowl and was bitten by a poisonous spider and almost lost his arm and almost died.
Jeez.
From the poison of this.
Yeah.
Thing. So... they hide out in the fruit.
Yes, there was a scorpion as well, I remember.
All kinds of shit.
I don't know whether this is one of those schoolyard things.
No. This actually happens. There was a news report, so a guy working in a supermarket went to move the bananas and a fucking spider fell on his face in the storeroom, bit him on the face. Big old tropical fucking spider. And of course, the first thing he does is go, and smush it. So they were like, we don't know what spider it was. And he brings what's left of it. And they're like, well, we're doctors. We're not... what do you call someone who's a... I don't remember. But anyway, so it's just like, what the fuck do we do? You know, we don't know what he's been bitten by. We're just going to have to watch and see what happens. How necrotic is it? You know, and just trying to treat that. It's like fucked up. So I get the bananas and I'm like, I check them inside the bag and then I carefully undo the bag and I'm like looking in for any holes where a spider could be peeking.
Do you have like chainmail gloves on while you're doing this?
I should.
Yeah.
Like I'm genuinely... It's a thing we don't anticipate is the idea that fucking... crazy ass big spider could sneak over in a banana.
Yeah.
Oof. Look at this. Yeah, like
scary.
Like Canadian weatherman found a scorpion in a bunch of bananas. A pensioner found one in Aldi bananas. A Halifax family found one in some bananas. Yeah, like loads of people have stolen, have found
they stole the spider.
have taken a scorpion from Guatemala or somewhere that was, yeah, tons of things.
Yeah,
shop,
it fucking
shop worker in Gateshead was stung by a banana.
Jeez.
Stung by a banana.
Run out of some bananas.
You're fucking opening
stung
up
by
your,
a banana.
You're inspecting your bunch of bananas and fucking Prince Philip is in there. She's, what? What are you doing in there, Phil? She's like, hello. What? Get out of my banana.
And he bit the worker.
And then he stings you. Yeah.
Wait, hey, man. Hey, what are you doing in there?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was looking for bugs to eat.
Man, I haven't. Jesus. I ate a banana the other day for the first time in a long time, and I gotta say, it was good. I miss bananas. They are really nice. They're cornerstone of a fruit salad and a smoothie.
A high tier fruit.
You need to have a
banana.
Them. I can't imagine a smoothie without banana in it. I think it's just like a good base.
What do they call it? A banana sundae? Do you remember those? You get the banana cut in half, lengthways, ice cream,
banana
some whipped
split.
Cream. That's real good. Banana split. That is one real. Real good split.
That is a humdinger of a dessert, isn't it? I mean, you just know you're going to be in paradise in 2.5. It's too much, though. Like, every time I've had a banana split, I can't eat the whole thing. And I'm fairly fat, and I still can't finish the banana split. It's too much. It's like a Black Forest ghetto. I don't know if you...
It is a lot of food after a meal.
Yeah.
Like a dessert.
Yeah.
I mean... You don't need an entire banana.
I think that's
an entire banana is a meal.
I think that's where the French have it nailed. You know, like their food, the portion sizes are pretty good. And then you get this like little dessert that's just like two chocolate circles on a plate with like some caramel sauce sprinkled on it. And that's fine. That's all you need, right? You just need like one little sweet just to like take the edge of the meal off sort of thing. But
yeah,
a whole
it's like
cake?
A camping dessert could be like a chocolate button.
Just like one Rolo.
Yeah.
And that's just enough, you know?
Yeah,
just...
banana like on a fire. You can have a banana on a little fire.
No.
Easy.
No.
Those things keep for ages, bananas. You take like a bunch with you and they'll be good for like the whole week.
Your guys' mums ever, you know, the bananas go all like dark and mushy and stuff, and then did they ever make like muffins or cake or anything with them?
You can make, you know what one of my favorite things to make is banana blondie.
Banana.
You ever had that?
I've had banana bread. Is that the same thing?
So it's similar, but imagine, so this is great. If you want, you've got some bananas, you want to make some stuff with it. The slightly older bananas that are mushier, like you're saying, are perfect. So you get some sugar and you caramelize that, and then you break it up and you add nuts into the mix. And it's sort of what are those big fat nuts? Brazil nuts are real good for this.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you smush them up and you mix them up. So you've got like this sort of
hot pan,
hot sugar.
Wait, it's your mum is making this, right?
No, this is my mother-in-law's recipe.
Oh, your mother-in-law, okay. I was going to say, I'd happily get my nuts in the mix.
So you got a campfire, you're cooking up
you get it
a
in
squash
there.
Banana
oh, let me
with
know
some
how
sugar.
People might be interested. People
like
might be
Scott
interested.
Would have eaten on the fucking way to the Antarctic.
Ah, whatever. Look it up.
And then you break up some canned meat, potted meat, pop that in there. And gosh, when we're on campaign, this was taught to me by an old Indian fellow on the trail. Oh, cracky, yes. He had one of those pith hats on.
It's always an Indian fellow, isn't it, with the English? They love Indian fellows, right?
Yeah. It's very colonial to have like an Indian servant on like pulling your, like a boy. Like, come boy. push my mule along.
Sorry?
And like... make sure, and they do all the work, you know, they make the fire and like,
it's like an Indiana Jones,
you know, press your trousers when you're on
they did
campaign.
A lot of the work in that too, you know, when he's finding the Temple of Doom.
God, they must have fucking hated us.
They must have hated
how did they
Indiana
ever
Jones.
Not stop hating us. They must, but honestly, you just got these fucking Brits turn up in your country, take it over.
These temples have been in our jungles for centuries, and this fucking clown turns up with his dumb hat and his Western ways, and
he at least Indiana Jones was respectful.
Yeah.
I'd say most of the other Brits you get going to India back then were just like, I say, you know, do
well,
this.
I guess it was either Indiana Jones or Nazis. So which one do you pick? because like
there were actually there were no Nazis.
But I don't think the Nazis
Temple
enlisted the Indians or the locals to do the caravan, because like in most of the Indiana Jones movies, the Nazis just would turn up everywhere with a lot of trucks and a lot of boys to do the stuff.
That's true. They
had
lads.
Their stuff.
They did have,
you know,
Nazi
they
lads.
Didn't. They weren't depending on the locals. You know, they weren't visiting like a town of dung huts and you know, eating the sweet nectar out of a pile of dung or whatever. They just brought all their own stuff.
That's
with
true.
Them.
In Raiders of the Lost Ark, they have a lot of lads digging in the desert. I do think they use local people for the digging.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Maybe, yeah, but I don't think those local people were up for the digging. You know, they were probably forced to do it. Whereas Indiana Jones probably would have said, like, you know, he would have rallied them to the cause, sort of thing.
Yeah, and he would have said, "Hey lads, let's go do some digging." They were like,
"Exactly,
yes,
yeah." But Nazis aren't like that, you know. They're like, "You will do the digging." And that's
I
it.
Will shoot you.
Yeah.
You will eat this banana with granulated sugar and potted meats. Or I will shoot you in the head.
Oh, man, what a way to go. What a way to go.
Fucking.
Imagine that's your family legacy.
So I just really like the idea. I just want to know how rough you want to camp, Sips. Like, if you go, do you want like to be in sight of a travelodge, or do you want to be washing in the river? Do you know
yeah,
I mean?
Washing. You go for you. You take a dip in the lake and take some soap in there with you, and that's how you wash.
Soap in the river. That's pollution, dude.
Man, it gets like diluted.
Yeah, down into the fish's face.
No, it's fine, honestly.
Dude, are you complaining about washing soap? That's like one of the most basic humanity things. That's on the list of
you
five
don't
things.
Even need
what,
soap.
Sips is going to take soap he's made himself. That's 100%
out of my own body
it.
Fat. Yeah.
Listen, if you were a basic human, like just spawned and didn't have no understanding of nothing.
Didn't have no understanding of nothing, including
or
the
no
English
family.
Language. Yeah.
You were just left on a riverbank and you were left with someone who was also, I guess, very... Okay, it's okay. For humans, a bad example. But one of the basic things we could probably do is, like, I don't know, strangle fish in a river,
right.
Swim in a river, like... I eat that
he
fish.
You can tell you've never been fucking fishing. Strangle a fish. What are you doing?
Well, you're like, I don't know, like bait like a bear. You know, you get wading around the river grabbing a fish, strangling
they
it.
They have claws, man. They do. They
just
they
hook
swipe
them out.
Them.
I don't know.
They
like,
swipe
you know,
them dead.
Fishing. Basic grabbing fish out of a river. Shitting in the
spear
river.
Fishing.
Shitting in the
spear
river.
Fishing,
people have shit in rivers since the dawn of time.
It's probably good. Fish probably love it. They probably eat, like, it probably helps.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I'm sure there's no problem with a person shitting in a river.
You always shit downstream, right? So that, because if you shit upstream, then the poop is going to come.
I learned that from City Skylines.
Exactly.
Am I right?
But you're always downstream from something. Right?
Right.
Like, you know.
And that's why there's conflicts in the world.
That's philosophical.
At a very basic level,
somebody's
shitting
in your drinking
water.
You're always downstream from some asshole up the river shitting in that river.
Exactly. That's why we have world
wars. Right. Who in the world do you think that he's not downstream of anybody?
The West.
The guy.
The West. That's not a person. I need a person.
Oh, a person.
Do you think it's just literally there's nothing upstream?
Jeff Bezos. Bill Gates.
Bill Gates
Donald
is shitting
Trump.
In that right at the top of the river in the brook bit where it's not even a river yet.
Yeah.
You know, he's shitting in one of those beautiful tranquil trickly glades.
Richard Branson.
And that turd is just floating straight down into the main river.
He shits
river.
In a tube and the tube ejects his shit into outer space.
Yeah. That's
so Bill Gates is still
very rich.
What was the richest man in the world, but
he's given a lot of his
apparently the wealthiest is Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Gates is like the biggest like philanthropist in the world, isn't he? He's donated a lot of his
They
money
should change the rich list to the most donated list.
I think they have a separate list for that, don't they?
Yeah, like most. But obviously, the thing is, that becomes a game then as well, because people like are going to be like, oh, I need money to make money. So if I can keep my money, then eventually I'll be on that list.
Jeff Bezos maybe. Has $131 billion net worth.
Net worth, yeah.
No, it's just nuts, yeah. He donated
That's
like...
ridiculous.
He donated.
Well, he should donate $130 billion of that. How much more do you need?
Well, exactly.
$1 billion.
But I mean, he doesn't have that money just sitting in an account where he can just write a check and say, here you go. Here's my donation. Like, his net worth is, you know, he owns several islands, millions of slaves, and it's all tied up for
some
sure.
Some bananas and stuff.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all locked away.
I would sell everything and have that all as liquid. Give me liquid cash.
Give me liquid cash.
And then
I'd
give
for your Scrooge.
$130 billion of it. I would invest in all kinds of things that I don't expect to see a return from. And then I just have the billion left.
Right.
Problem is, if you have $131 billion, you start thinking, oh, I'll give five of this away, but I don't want to have less than $100 billion just in case. Just in case what? Just in case what? You've managed to spend it. Something bad happens. No, I can get rid of it. You don't need. Nobody needs $131 billion. It's fucking ridiculous.
What if you
it's
have
obscene.
A really insane drug addiction, though?
If he can go through $131 billion doing drugs, that's some pricey drugs.
Yeah.
He would have to have a cocaine habit where he just has pounds and pounds of it mainlined into his body every second of the day. And even then, I don't think he could even go through it in a lifetime.
Yeah. His nose is just like a vacuum cleaner extension.
Yeah. If he just has a line of coke going around the planet, he's just going, just all day.
That would be a
Hoover
really good reality TV show. Follow the line.
How much coke can you
You
coke?
Just have to go around the whole planet sniffing one continuous
Whose line is it anyway?
One continuous line of cocaine. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
You know what? That's
Lewis
the next
would
level.
Ace that, too. That's the reality show for Lewis, I think. That's the one he would excel at.
That's the one not SAS.
You know what? You would watch that. Who wouldn't watch that? Where they lay out lines of coke and you get your competitors. They have to try and snort as far down the line as possible.
That's it.
And the winner gets
make it interesting. Like they've had all those shows like Big Brother and the one where they have to like they can't sleep for a week and stuff and like doing experiments and stuff. Put everybody into a house with tons of cocaine and just see what happens. And that's a reality show. Just call it like Cocaine House.
I think it'd be interesting if we could have a view into their brain. Like that's the way it would work.
I don't even want
you
that.
You get to vicariously. No, but I want to vicariously see what they're seeing.
Yeah.
So give them loads of LSD and then I want to be able to put on like a VR headset and experience life as Tony in a Big Brother.
I just
want
to see.
House.
I want them in a house where there's nothing. Okay. There's no TV. There's nothing to do. All there is bags of cocaine on a table, places to sit, and that's it. And then, and like 12 people. And the only way you get eliminated is when you've just absolutely had enough and you say, I have to get out of here before I either kill someone or go insane. Like you don't get voted out or anything like that.
Did you hear about that Japanese game show? This was a while back. If you haven't heard about it, I urge anyone listening to this to look it up. This guy had to spend a year in an apartment with nothing.
Right.
And the only way he could get anything into the apartment was stuff that he won in competitions in the newspapers
you told
and
me
stuff
about
like
this
that.
Before. Yeah. But so you'd have to win food and everything?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So he won like dog food and he had to eat the dog food. That was all he had. He had nothing. Like he was literally naked in the apartment for a year. And if he could stay for the whole year, he won the prize at the
what
end.
What was the
and,
prize at the end?
I can't remember. It's not important.
Man, I started watching this show last night, talking about kind of like a game show or whatever. It's on BBC Two. It just started last week, I think. And it's called Winning the Wilderness or something like that. And it's about this couple, this guy in 1985, hiked 57 miles in Alaska, just randomly found like a mountain and named the mountain after himself and built his own house on it. This, it took him years. Like it was like, you know, those videos on YouTube of the guy building the mud huts and whatever in the wilderness. It was like that, but he's built this beautiful house, like all handcrafted. Him and his wife, he met his wife like a couple of years into it or whatever. She moved out there and they're in their 70s now. This super remote house. It's like hundreds of miles from anything. There's no roads, nothing. The only thing they have that makes it so that they can actually get supplies to and everything is they, by hand, made a landing strip, like an airstrip, because a town like 200 miles from them has this little hub of like, you know, four-seater planes that to get to like these remote areas around this part of Alaska. So every once in a while they can get stuff. I don't know what, maybe medicine and shit like that. But like, they've got like a vegetable patch, greenhouse, like they hunt, like, you know what I mean? Like they just live this super, super natural life in this house that they built, but they're kind of old and it's getting harder for them to do it. So they've decided that they want to give it away to somebody like another couple who can like continue on their legacy. So there's like six British couples having to like do all these challenges in the wilderness in Alaska, and then they have to meet them and decide like who's gonna like take it over or whatever. It's really good. It's interesting, but I don't think I could do that. Like, I don't think that's the life for me. I would miss the internet too much and probably like, you know, eating food and stuff like that too much. You know what I mean?
I think a lot of this stuff, as someone who's on the inside, I could see how easily it would all be faked. And certainly the Hollywood edit and certainly scripted in a sense. Like, you know, you could see that so many of these modern shows that are ostensibly about, you know, surviving or being in the wilderness, they literally legally are so have to be so careful with these people that they can't, you know, it's not like they can't just sign a waiver and then you can torture them kind of thing.
No,
they've got to be careful because you remember Noel Edmonds' house party? Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Mr. Bobby. So before he had the house party, he did another show called something like, what the fuck was it? Noel Edmonds, I don't know, Friday Night Takeaway or something like that. And they did a stunt where a guy was in a cargo container and they dropped it from a crane attached to a bungee cord and it broke and the guy died. This was on live TV.
Holy crap.
And he basically took a big hiatus from television because everybody was blaming his stupid fucking production company and everybody involved in doing this ridiculous stunt with a member of the public. So anytime you have a show where people are doing dangerous shit, there is no fucking way that there is any excuse for a TV company putting anyone in actual danger, which is why they're that careful, because people have died.
Yeah.
So I hate all these shows where people have to do stupid stunts and shit. It's insanely dangerous, the name of
entertainment. I mean, this show
does... They can all fuck off, because they're just doing it for
money. Yeah, but this, it's not stunts. It's like survival stuff. Like, yesterday they had to... They had to learn how to make a fire.
Right, that's like, that's what it is now.
Yeah.
But if they weren't looking after it, they would be dropping them in the middle of fucking nowhere and just leaving them to it.
Yeah.
Anything has a tinge of danger to it, and you have to be careful. I mean, this guy, I've just looked this up, so it's this guy who was doing bungee jump rehearsal, and, you know, a bungee jump doesn't sound that bad, but, you know, they are dangerous. And you know, what happened was obviously, like, it wasn't tied on properly, and he died, And that stuff must happen all the fucking time. I'm sure people die in the name of entertainment doing these dangerous things all the time. Like, helicopter crashes happen.
Yeah.
And these types of things are accidents. And I guess because of the nature of what you're doing, you have to be really super careful. But, you know, look at, like, you know, people have... Look at fucking... what's his name? Got shot, you know, old... bloody Bruce
Brandon Lee
Bruce
Phillips. Lee.
Yeah, Bruce yeah. Lee. Yeah, he got...
Was it Brandon Lee Phillips or was Brandon Lee? Yeah, he got shot. So the deal with that was that they had prop bullets and the prop bullet had a real bullet on the end, but no charge. And when they loaded that into the gun in one scene, when they unloaded it, the prop end of the round was lodged in the gun. So when they put the blanks in, you had a blank with a bullet on the front, which is essentially a bullet, which is apparently how it happened. That was the rumor. So it was like a prop malfunction and somebody not checking. But there was a... What the fuck was it? There was another... It was the Twilight Zone movie. This was back in the 80s. And this was... Who was it? Was it... It was like a really famous director was making this scene. And the actor, Vic Morrow... And the two kids in the scene were killed when the helicopter malfunctioned. But they still used the rest of the stuff they'd shot. And he, you know, said, oh, no, it wasn't me and all the rest of it. No, that was just an accident. But there was all kinds of stuff that came out about how they weren't being safe properly. And there were this stupid explosives they weren't expecting. And it was like real fly-by-wire stuff. You know, it was like real, you know, just, oh, it'll be all right kind of filmmaking. So I hate it. All these shows now must have fucking health and safety and lawyers
and
safety checks up the arse because it's just not worth it.
So in Japan, I mean, Japan used to have this reputation for these kind of quite cruel TV shows in a sense. Takeshi's Castle and things like quite, I don't know. And so this is one of the examples, actually, the one you mentioned, PFLAX. Was this guy who had to live for a year naked in an apartment by living only on sweepstakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stuff he'd won. But there were three others, like, in that. There's 20 other challenges, but apparently, like, some of the best known were two guys were put on a desert island with no food or clue where they were. They would only get off if they built a raft and went to Tokyo. It took them 4 months, and it, apparently, like, it was a really traumatic experience. There was a comedian and a radio DJ who were told to hike from the bottom of South Africa to Norway.
Jesus.
One of them, they almost starved to death. One of them was hospitalized after collapsing in the Sahara Desert. It's kind of it's crazy, even this happened like sort of 20, no, not even 20 years ago. Like, well, yeah, actually about 20 years ago now. So yeah. Okay. So this happened 20 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, the other guy, there were two guys who were fans of different baseball teams, and they were confined to a single room with a TV that only showed their team's baseball games. If their team won, they got to eat dinner, but if they lost, they would be put in the darkness with no food until the next time the team played.
Just keep it simple. Cocaine house and watch the ratings soar.
They used to have a show called Endurance.
Right.
And you would see clips of it. This is a Japanese show.
It's just people listening to the Triforce podcast.
No one survived.
Nobody could do it.
Yeah, so they would do things like, they had to drink a load of beer and then stand next to a river. And the last person who didn't go for a wee won the
round. Oh, my God.
Like, it was stupid.
Were they, like,
stuff
sweating,
like
trying to hold in their piss and stuff?
Yeah, they were, like, really suffering. They drank all this beer.
Could they sit down and stuff?
No, they're just, like, the sound of running water. And when they gave up, they had to just run and go pee. And it was ridiculous. It was so stupid. There was loads of stuff like that. I think Clive James, rest in peace, used to show clips of it. And, like, I'm pretty sure it was on that. The British TV shows used to look at a lot of foreign telly because we didn't have access to it. There was no YouTube. Right. So unless some fucking TV show found this clip and showed it to us, we just didn't know about it. Like, Eurotrash used to be like that. They'd show you clips of foreign telly that were sort of so bizarre.
Sure.
It was funny. Endurance, it was called.
Endurance.
Oh my gosh. This is such a crazy, like, this. I'm reading this thing about poor old Nasubi, who was this guy called, who was the guy in the apartment.
Yeah.
His name comes from, like, eggplant. And he was basically, he had to be naked almost the whole time. And every time he reached, like, a target that they set, they would kind of, like, make it worse. So, for example, originally he had to, like, win enough money to buy a plane ticket back to Japan because he was in South Korea. But once he did that, they were like, oh, actually, you now have to do it first class. So he was like, oh, God. So he did that. And then, like, do you know what? It was like, it actually is, it sounds amazing, but, like, just, I don't think it was good for him. Partly because he was alone for like 15 months. He was like the Truman Show kind of thing. You know, he knew he was being recorded and live streamed and sort of things, or at least like thought.
But you know what they did when he won? He did the first goal. You know what they did to him?
No.
They took him to a surprise location and he thought he was going to get a big prize, but they took him to another apartment, this time in South Korea. And he wasn't allowed back until he'd earned enough money to get home on a flight with Japan Airlines. And then he got back to Japan. They blindfolded him again, took him to another apartment, and he gets there, looks around, just sort of sighs, takes off his clothes, thinking that's it. And then the walls of the apartment fall away, and he's in the TV studio.
What a guy. Like, honestly, he didn't quit. Like, you can imagine, like, these, because you see it on these shows that people eventually just are like, I'm done. You know, I quit. But he was like, he was willing to stick it out after he'd been doing it for over a year.
It's crazy.
But maybe he just become like, what a guy. Like, either he, I hope he's okay. Apparently he said he had trouble holding conversations with people for the first 6 months after his ordeal. And also said he couldn't wear clothing because he felt very hot and sweaty because he was so used to being naked. And also so used to being on his own. I'm not against people putting themselves through experiences like this for scientific reasons in some cases. Like, you know, if you're going to go to Mars, okay, that's like something where you might be isolated for a long time. You might have to be with a very, very small group of people or even on your own in a very confined area, probably like limited space. Like if you're on the International Space Station, I think like these experiments, these isolation experiments that people put themselves through are very interesting to like learn a lot about humans and like what how our brains work. And
if we ever went to Mars, we would need to be really good at understanding how to make things, because it's not something that you can just prepare for. It'll have to be stuff that our instinctive base brains can cope with. So you'd have to design a spaceship and an environment that doesn't fuck you up. But the
problem
is,
things. We want to be able to shit in a river, get fish out of a river,
right,
have sex with a tree, whatever the things our ancestors did to stop themselves getting bored. You know, we need to like understand that even though we're going into space, you know, we are still genetically coded, much like Terry is, to eat a lettuce and
to need certain things, whether it be the color of the walls or the what you can see or the amount of space you've got, stuff you can do, how much freedom of movement you've got, how much time alone, how much time together, all needs to be understood before we do that. And there's some people saying, oh, I'd go on a one-way trip to Mars. Yeah, sign me up. And I'm thinking, no, you fucking wouldn't. You have no idea what that would involve, that isolation. Like, you think you can be alone in an apartment in Japan for 15 months like this poor aubergine guy was, or eggplant. It's looking ridiculous. Imagine spending the rest of your life on the surface of Mars just hoping that things work out. And you know, anything goes wrong, you're fucked. It'd be terrifying.
Sometimes, we're built. Yeah. Sometimes, I don't know, though. Sometimes I don't know. People could side off saying, you know, much like they did at the jungle jump thing, you know, if they go, if your kids go in into the jungle. I was watching these kids fly around and I thought, cracky bloody hell, like one of them like might just bounce out and fucking break their neck, you know. But they probably signed a, well, the kids I assume haven't signed a waiver, but someone's signed a waiver somewhere along the line, or someone's got some insurance. Someone's signing a waiver. If I go and like go to a shooting range or a bungee jump or something, someone's going to make me sign a piece of paper that says, if you hurt yourself, we're not going to be held liable for this.
Which,
you know,
is worthless, by the way. If you can prove that they were,
if you prove that they were
negligent
or they shouldn't be doing something, yeah, you can usually give them a go and shut them down. But I'm just saying, like, that some people don't know what's best for themselves, though, either. Like, you know, like someone might think, oh, damn, you know, I'm gonna stick myself, I'm gonna go camping, and I'm gonna survive in the backwater of Jersey, and you know. The thing about Jersey is, like, you know, there's probably like a Marks and Spencer's about 2 minutes walk up the road. So it's not even like the most remote area is probably fairly safe, you know. But if you go to like the fucking middle of the jungle or a desert island, like having to build a raft.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It'd be rough. Like, again, I don't know if that I'd want to, as much as I in my mind think, yeah, I could do that, you know. I don't want
to
do that.
Some people do it to feel alive, though. Some people would deliberately strand themselves and like take on this challenge with the risk of death, because they do it like they really want to challenge themselves and like break through that, like that barriers and stuff. You know, it seems like a midlife crisis type thing. You know, I could see some people wanting to do that anyway.
Have you? What are you going to do for your midlife crisis? I've already done mine.
Oh,
I've been playing a lot of Overwatch.
Mushrooms.
Recently. Yeah, mushrooms is a good one. Yeah.
Overwatch.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a problem.
That's a hell of a drug, yeah.
Right, that's enough of the Triforce Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Stay frosty.
Bit of a weird one, bit of a waffler. Yep. We'll see you next week.
See you next time. Same bat time, same bat.
Bye.
Bye.